Check your soap.
Check your soap. That's kind of creepy to me. Mm. Now when I go to all those places that are like, we handmade this soap, I'm like, out of what?
People.
People? Maybe.
Probably.
Hello and welcome back to the Bug in a Rug podcast. As always, my name is Caitlin, and today I'm celebrating Women's History Month with Jack by telling him about the soap maker of Coriago. This story may or may not keep you up at night. Hopefully by the end of it, we will all still be able to sleep as snug as a bug in a rug. But only time will tell. How do you feel about soap?
It's fine.
We named our cat soap.
Cat's name. Well, there he is. Yep.
But not after the bars of soap. This is after the bars of soap. Women's History Month. How do you feel about that?
Show us over.
Yeah. Yeah, this one is... This is a story that I swear I may have told before, so if it sounds familiar, let me know. And also, it is... kind of a celebration of women, but not really. So bear that in mind while we discuss. Leonardo Cianciulli was born on April 14th, 1893 in Montella Avellino, what was then the Kingdom of Italy.
Okay.
Little is known about her youth, other than that it was filled with absolute despair, leading her to attempt suicide twice before she became an adult. She did meet and marry a registry office clerk, Raphael Pansardi, in 1917, which did seem like a light at the end of the tunnel. However, her mother did not approve of the marriage and allegedly cursed the couple. A fortune teller later confirmed the curse, stating that on one hand, she saw criminal asylum, and on the other hand, she saw prison, and that Leonardo would marry and have children, but that all of her children would die young.
What's the difference between criminal asylum and prison?
I was taking criminal asylum, I guess I was kind of taking that one as like a mental health asylum, although I'm not sure if that's true. I think it was more along the lines of like, all I see in your future is...
you locked away.
Bad stuff. Right. Bad stuff.
I'm going to start being a fortune teller.
And I don't think it was like, on one hand it's prison and on one hand it's this. I think it was like, she was reading her palms.
Okay.
And was like, all I see in here is... you know.
She's angry.
Jail, basically. You want to be a fortune teller? Would you read palms? Would you do tarot? Crystal ball? What would be your method?
People just want to hear what they want to hear, so I just tell them what they want. It doesn't matter. Just made it up.
That's true. We went to New Orleans for a trip, and there are people, like, telling fortunes. I mean, they're scamming. They're taking your money. But we were all kind of like, okay, that's cool. And he was like, oh, it's like $40 per person. And we're like, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Sorry. And he's like, well, no. I'll do, like, if more than one of you do it, like, I'll make it cheaper. And we're like, okay. And, like, some people, it was really good. But, like, for me and, like, a couple other people, it was just really vague.
Yeah.
Because I think it's, like, you can read people a little easier. It's like The Mentalist.
Yeah. So the one time, I forget where we were at, but we saw one, and I asked the lady about work, and she's like, oh, you'll love your job. I was like, I don't know.
That was at Matt and Eddie's wedding.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun.
It was fun.
I thought that was more for fun skis. And we didn't have to pay her.
Nope.
So. Well, how do you feel about fortune tellers? Like, if somebody gave you a terrible fortune, would you believe it?
Oh.
Like, at all?
I know my life's miserable.
Stop.
No, it's fine.
Like, you wouldn't believe them at all? You just, okay, sure. Even subconsciously? I guess you wouldn't know because it'd be your subconscious.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They believed all of this to be true, so the curse from the mother and the fortune teller's prediction, after several years of bad luck seemed to follow them. Leonardo and Raphael moved to his native town of Loria Potenza in 1921. 6 years later, in 1927, Leonardo was sentenced and imprisoned for fraud. Once she was released, the couple agreed to move to Lacedonia Avellino, only for their home to be destroyed in the 1930 Irpinia earthquake. Throughout all of this, Leonardo and Raphael would have 17 pregnancies, losing 3 to miscarriage and 10 to death in their youth. So children just dying young. This? These are between the years of 1921 and 1930.
It checks out.
What? Earthquake and children passing, children dying, you know? Yeah, I mean, it's definitely...
It's hard to make it through tuberculosis and the common cold.
Yeah, which there's not a lot of details on what happened to them and the imprisonment for fraud. I'm not sure what the fraud... Like, I don't really know what that information was. So just a lot of bad luck, a lot of, you know...
Lied about how much... hair greasy and
maybe I don't know
what they did in Italy in 1920.
How much pasta they're cooking, that seems stereotypical. I don't know.
We're just gonna skip the whole 1930s, late 30s, early 40s Italy. But
late 30s, this is the rest of this is gonna be late 30s,
early 40s.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But the trains were on time.
Just gonna keep going. So Leonardo and Raphael thought that they had outrun their bad luck in 1931 when they moved and settled in Reggio Emilia with their 4 surviving children. Once unpacked, Leonardo opened a small shop in Corrigio, and she became very popular and well-respected within the family's neighborhood. Friends would flock to her shop to purchase food, soap, candles, potions, and fortunes. So she kind of became a fortune teller herself. I wouldn't say fortune teller as much as mentor. I don't think she was reading fortunes. I think it was like, I need advice.
Okay.
Kind of thing, if that makes sense. All seemed to be going well until their oldest son, Giuseppe, decided to join the Royal Italian Army in 1939. At this announcement, Leonardo decided that she needed to protect her son at all costs.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on in Italy. And
Italy was run by Benito Mussolini.
Oh.
Do you know anything about Mussolini?
Probably not as much as I should.
Him and old...
I think you could say his name.
They were buddies. They were pals.
Ooh, okay. So him wanting to join the army is probably not, from our perspective, a good look.
From our perspective, it was not a good look.
Okay.
But the trains were on time.
So
that was Mussolini's big thing. Trains.
He's
a big trains guy.
I wonder if he liked Sylvester.
Maybe.
Miss Juska.
It was weird. He's very... He kind of did his own thing. Sorry, I'm yawning. He kind of did his own thing. And he, like, agreed with Hitler on a little bit of stuff. Not, like, all of stuff. But Southern Europe really wasn't that involved. Sorry. It was involved. It wasn't as, like, the forefront of World War II.
Yeah.
Everything was pretty much north of them.
Okay.
Plus, you had to do with the Alps, and there's a lot of... We don't really want to deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They weren't as, like, deep as the Japanese or Germans.
But still not...
But they were...
They were there.
They were definitely on their side.
And if you were there on their side, that's not a good look, right?
Yeah. Today, yeah.
Yeah. So.
They get out of a lot of crap for that. For, like, everyone's like, oh, all Germans are Nazis. And everyone kind of forgets the Italians are.
Kind of were.
Yeah.
As well. Well, maybe that's why she was freaking out so much about it. Because she knew it wasn't really a great
Yeah.
Lots of danger, at least. So she was really worried about it.
Yeah.
So this kind of takes a turn in the next little bit, but it comes back around, I promise. So just bear with me. 50-year-old, so keep it in mind. He's going off to the army. You know, she's had all this bad luck in her life. They've moved to a new city. She wants to protect him because she only has 4 children remaining. He's the favorite, allegedly. Keep all that in mind while I read this next bit.
Morning.
50-year-old Faustina Setti was a lifelong spinster who lived a few doors down from Leonardo and Raphael. She came to Leonardo one day with 30,000 lire seeking advice on how to find a husband. So like I said, not really fortune teller, but someone to go to kind of help.
I have no idea what that is.
What?
Currency.
It's not that much.
Is that
in American dollars? But you also have to think it was the 1930, you know, 1930s.
Is that so also, what is it? Is it yen that doesn't have cents? It's just like straight.
I think, I don't know.
Like a 100 yen is like $1.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, because like in American dollars, this isn't that much. Yeah. But again, like $100 in 1930 is going to be way more than it is now. So,
inflation.
$200, basically. So, Leonardo told her that she actually knew of a suitable partner located in Pola, which is a different part of Italy. But asked her not to tell anybody about this. In case it didn't work out, basically. So she was kind of like, I'll set you up. I'll get you to Pola to meet this friend of mine. But don't tell anybody because we don't want them to try to stop you. Their plan was for Faustina to write letters to her friends and family. Describing, like, what the plan is, the romance, you know, the advice that Leonardo gave her. And then Leonardo would squirrel Faustina away in the middle of the night and then deliver the letters to her friends and family after everything was said and done.
Yep.
Okay. 53-year-old Francesca Soavi was in search of a job before Leonardo claimed to have found her one at a school for girls in Piacenza. Like with Faustina, Francesca paid Leonardo for her trouble and wrote letters to be sent to friends and family detailing her plans. Leonardo convinced her that she had to leave immediately to take the position or else it would be filled. So they didn't have time to tell anybody. So write your letters, come to me, we'll get you on the next train out of here, and I'll deliver the letters for you afterwards.
She's like P. Diddy.
P. Diddy.
Moving people across the country?
Kind of. Well, maybe. 60-year-old Virginia Cassiopo. Yes. Well, yeah, that's why they go to her. I mean, the first one wanted a husband. The second one had a job and then lost it and can't find another. You know what I mean?
Get him.
60-year-old Virginia Cassiopo was a widow who was searching for work like Francesca less than a month prior. Leonardo claimed to also have work for her, insisting that she should take a position as the secretary for a mysterious impresario in Florence for 50,000 lire, assorted jewels, and public bonds. As with the other two women, Leonardo instructed Virginia not to tell anybody where she was going, only to write letters, leave, and then the letters would be delivered after the fact. Now, this allegedly was happening. These women went to her. They had these plans to leave in the middle of the night and then
disappear.
People didn't see them
again.
Well, Virginia's sister grew suspicious of her sudden disappearance and recalled last seeing her at Leonardo's shop or last hearing that she was going to go there for advice. She reported these fears to the superintendent of police, who immediately opened an investigation. Officers discovered treasury bonds, jewelry, and clothing belonging to the three women under a brick in the shop. Suspicion was thrown on Giuseppe first, Leonardo and Raphael's eldest son, who was going off to the war, who Leonardo was trying to protect. However, Leonardo quickly put an end to that train of thought by admitting that she knew where the women were. And that she had brutally murdered all three of them.
That's why he disappeared.
As Vustina, the first woman, was preparing for her departure to meet her suitor in Pola, she greeted Leonarda at her store one last time to be shipped off. Leonarda killed her with an axe, dragged her body into a closet where she cut her into 9 parts, gathered the blood into a basin. Leonarda admitted in her own words, quote, "I threw the pieces into a pot, added 7 kilos of caustic soda, which I bought to make soap, and stirred the mixture until the pieces dissolved in a thick, dark mush that I poured into several buckets and emptied in a nearby septic tank. As for the blood in the basin, I waited until it had coagulated, dried it in the oven, ground it, and mixed it with flour, sugar, chocolate, milk, and eggs, as well as a bit of margarine, kneading all the ingredients together. I made lots of crunchy tea cakes and served them to the ladies who came to visit, though Giuseppe and I also ate them." End quote. She followed that story by explaining how when Francesca came to bid farewell to take the teaching position on September 5th, 1940, she drugged Francesca's wine and killed her with an axe. Leonarda admitted to disposing her body in the same manner that she did with Faustina.
Did she eat her too?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Okay. Eat her blood. She didn't eat her.
Well, there are probably other parts in there, I'm assuming, but I don't know. Finally, Leonarda claimed to have met Virginia on September 30th, 1940, to help her escape to Florence, only to murder her in the same manner as Faustina and Francesca. Leonarda then stated, quote, "She ended up in the pot like the other two. Her flesh was fat and white. When it had melted, I added a bottle of cologne, and after a long time on the boil, I was able to make some most acceptable creamy soap. I gave bars to neighbors and acquaintances. The cakes, too, were better. That woman was really sweet." So she killed these three women, made them into soap, gave the soap to her neighbors, and also forcibly made people partake in cannibalism.
Hear me out.
What? Mm-hmm. I can't read all that, and then you go, "Let me play devil's advocate, though."
Eating people... Eh.
Just willy-nilly?
Yeah, just... I wouldn't. Soap?
Hold on, I do not... This podcast does not...
Condone
cannibalism. Okay. Unless... there's like a survival dire need for it. Like you're in the middle of the ocean on a boat.
Okay.
The people crush the plane. Well, I don't know. Some of that's a little bit murky, though.
I was going with soap's a really good use of dead bodies.
Yeah, but you can't murder to do it.
I wasn't saying that. I was just like, you want to make a tree or turn to ashes?
In like, my will, soap. I'm going to write that I want people to make soap out of my body.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
use it.
Cemeteries take up too much space.
Make soap out of the bodies.
Yeah. Cat bodies.
Interesting.
Cat soap.
Interesting take that you have. Interesting position that you have decided upon.
Cooking people's weird.
Yeah.
Cooking
people's weird. Eating them? Fine.
No.
That's what you sound like.
Kinda. The fact is, our brains... And I'm not going to go to the local bakery and see if they have any blood people pudding.
I think people blood pudding.
But uncooked human, like our brains make us go kind of crazy. Just is like, you shouldn't eat each other.
Yeah.
There's like some form of chemical reaction. It's like, oh, you ate a human, you're already probably crazy.
Yeah.
But it's not good for you anyway.
Well, it's probably traumatic.
Yeah.
And so that's gonna...
There's some form of...
Yeah.
That goes on. Even people who are like into it, it screws them up. But... especially in like Papua New Guinea, they do cannibalism out there. All those people are nuts.
Do you know all this? Don't you know all this for a fact? I feel like I need to put like an asterisk at the end and be like, you're just kind of assuming certain things.
There's some people in Papua New Guinea. There's, okay, Are we on Papua New Guinea?
I don't know. You brought it up.
Papua New Guinea is a really strange place because it's one of like the last Pacific Island areas that were kind of modernized.
Okay.
But like there's definitely still unmodern aspects in there.
Yeah.
There's
well, there was like, a guy, there was, but that wasn't super long ago. Whitney told a story about, I thought it was somebody famous's cousin or something. They went to go visit some place kind of like that. And one of the theories is he disappeared. He like fell off the boat. And one of the theories is that the people ate him.
Yeah.
Another theory is alligators, I think. So like take that as you will, but
yeah, I mean, there's at least some place, I believe it's Papua New Guinea, it's a island country somewhere over there.
Yeah.
That they like, don't bury people, they, like, let them hang out and, like, to, like, watch for demons. Like, the demons don't know if they're dead or not, if their body's just hanging out. So they're just, like...
They don't bury people?
No, there's...
Because they're, like, oh...
Or they bury them
they'll
or
know.
They bury them and they bring them back up like for like once a month or once a year.
Interesting.
But I don't know how to test this. I assume somebody has at some point. If you cook just like the human blood, does it affect you as much?
I don't know.
It's probably salty. It's a lot of iron.
You are strangely calm about this. I don't know. Nobody's going to eat me. Is that what you're saying? Is that what
no,
you're thinking?
I wasn't planning on murdering and eating anybody. Like,
I don't know. I haven't looked. I didn't look a lot into it. Because I also think a lot of cannibalism stuff is like from the movies.
Yeah. Draining blood's easy. We should cut that out. I don't know. That wouldn't be where I'd go.
What do you mean?
If you're murdered with an axe that's bloody and some messy, and just be like, I'm going to collect all this blood up.
Well, I guess her thought probably was, oh, I've murdered them. They're in my house.
Yeah.
I sell this stuff. So if I just...
Two birds, one stone.
Right. I think it was her way of disposing the body. Just how, like, people who have pigs will just be like, I'll feed it to pigs.
Yeah. I got to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And I need money.
Yeah. I think it was more that. Situation.
They paid me, I murdered them, and I realized all the people who pay me aren't gonna pay me anymore.
Right.
It's not a great business plan.
No. No.
It's more of a quick cash mm-hmm. business plan,
yeah.
But you don't it's not sustainable.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. So when the police asked Leonardo why she committed these atrocious crimes, she claimed that she needed to keep her son safe as he went off with the Royal Italian Army. Through human sacrifice.
Murdering.
To whom? I don't know. Like, she wasn't like, human sacrifice because this deity...
Told me to.
I think it was just like...
The Pope. The Catholic Church.
I wonder if it was like, if I kill people...
He won't die. Yeah.
Because, like, I'm taking... These people are taking the place of him. I don't know.
That checks out.
She showed no remorse, providing 750 pages in which she narrated her life in great detail. This written report included her youth, fortunes, cannibalistic tendencies, sexual encounters with women, and various recipes. So it was pretty shocking, to say the least. And at that time, I don't even know if the cannibalism wasn't as shocking.
Are you talking about the lesbian?
Yeah.
1920s. I get it. 1930s.
They're like, cannibalism. We can look past that.
Yeah.
Lesbianism? Is that a word?
Probably. How dare you guys kiss each other? If you're going to do it. Sorry, I messed up myself up for a really bad joke. I was going to say, if you do anything, eat.
Well. Well. So, Leonardo, CMC.
Sorry.
I'm just moving right on past that. Leonardo Cianciulli was tried for murder in Reggio Emilia in 1946 and was found guilty, obviously, because she basically said, yeah, I did it.
750 pages is a lot.
Listen, who knows if it was just rambles or if it was...
There's only almost 450 in that.
I've probably read a fan fiction that's about 750 pages.
Any cannibals?
Depends on how big her handwriting is. Unless she typed it.
I don't think she typed it.
So she was found guilty. She was sentenced to 30 years in prison and 3 years in criminal asylum. Oh, maybe that's what... Maybe the criminal asylum one was like a...
Well, yeah. You can't let... You probably shouldn't let murderers back into society. Unless... Maybe a few. It's just... There's some probably... But like cannibalists? Probably not. Cannibalists?
You're saying murderers you can release, but cannibalists you can't?
Murderers...
Or cannibalistic murderers are probably... Yeah. Worse than regular cannibalistic murders.
Murders are probably worse than regular murders. And I was, and there's a few. There's an asterisk by murderers. Like, all that guy was trying to kill me, so I killed him.
Yeah, okay.
Still murdered.
Which, there was a story about that we did, about a lady who, a guy broke into her house, and she used self-defense and killed him. Man, I'm doing all kinds of throwbacks. Can't remember what any of them are called, but go back, listen to all the episodes. You'll find it. So anyway, that was her sentence. She eventually died of cerebral...
Palsy?
Nope. Cerebral apoplexy at the age of 79 in the Women's Criminal Asylum in Pozzuoli on October 15th, 1970. Her body was returned to her family for burial, but her murder weapons... including the pot that her victims were boiled in, were donated to the Criminology Museum in Rome, and I think they are still there to this day.
That'd be a cool museum.
I think so, too.
I think, because everyone dies by gunshot or stabbing. You want something cool.
Yeah, I'd have to... I'll try to post pictures of it, because I think it had, like, the knife, like a knife... Yeah. In the pot. That's and some of her clothes and like stuff like that.
I strangled them in bed and then I made them into soap.
Cerebral apoplexy is a medical term for stroke, which is...
Okay.
So she died of stroke.
She was 79.
All of our medical people out there would know what that was. So that's the end of the story. Do you think the story will keep you up at night, or do you think you'll still be able to sleep as snug as a bug in a rug? Happy Women's History Month.
Happy Women's History Month. Go eat the blood of your local old ladies.
Maybe not.
Don't kill them. See paper cuts.
Be a vampire.
Be a vampire, yeah. Make.
Oh, and find do out you our... get why she was called the soap maker of...
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay. I didn't put that in there at the end, and I wanted to make sure we all connected the dots. Soap maker of Correggio. Make sure
to take a bath. Check your soap.
That's kind of creepy to me. Mm. Now when I go to all those places that are like, we handmade this soap, I'm like, out of what?
People.
Maybe.
Probably.
So
we made these tootsies.
Do you think this song's going to keep you up at night? Do you think this story's going to keep you up at night?
No, I'm sleepy.
I know. That
I've been yawning this
you entire trying time. To talk mid-yawn, I think, proves that.
Itchy.
All right, so you're good?
I'm not going to pay a lady $500 for me to find
a husband.
A job. Or a husband. And I'm not going to send... We're not in the middle of World War II.
Yeah. And
fascist Italy. Socialist Italy.
And I don't think our cats are going to join the military.
Yeah. The Royal Italian Air Force. Is that what it was?
Oh, just the Army.
Army.
Royal Italian Army.
RIA? Royal Army of Italy?
Italian Army? RIA?
I don't know.
Something like that. So, yeah, that's fair. I thought this was an interesting story. I swear we've talked about it before, but this lady, a lot of the times, if you're looking up information about her now... Elizabeth Bathory comes up. She's the one that killed Whitney. Did a story on it. She's the one that basically tricked young girls to come to her school and then like killed them and drink their blood because she thought it would make them maternal. I think these two are kind of compared a little bit because it was like human sacrifice for something,
the good of the kids,
right? And you don't hear about a lot of women serial killers. So, this one, is kind of a famous one in that aspect, too.
Was it Women's Month or Women's Health Month?
Women's History Month.
History Month. Okay.
It's kind of terrible that you didn't know that.
I'm sorry. It's almost April.
All right. Well.
If you're going to eat somebody, let us know. If you're going to make people into soap, send us your recipe.
And if you're going to eat someone, at least make them into, like, tea cakes or something.
Yeah, like don't just, I, like...
Don't just...
Like, off the bone. That's a bit dark.
Tea cakes,
I think the court system may let slide.
I think, like...
It might be first-degree murder.
It could be one or the other. Like, the jury might be like, oh my god, they took all the time to make tea cakes. Or other people would be like, wow, at least...
They were nice.
At least they took the time to make tea cakes.
Yeah.
Oh, you never want me on a jury. Anyway, if you want to see... She's squinting at you. If you want to see... Black.
Oh, they're gone.
If you want to see photos, you can check out our Facebook. It's Bug and Rug. You can also check out Instagram or Twitter at BIAR Podcast. If you want to check out my resources, bugandrug.podbean.com. That also has all of our previous episodes, so you can go back and listen to Sylvester Machuska, the train wrecker, which was mentioned in this episode.
Wrecker, yeah.
He's the one that got horny when he blew up trains. You could go back and look up Elizabeth Bathory. We did an episode on her. You could go listen to Susan Walters in self-defense. She's the one that had somebody break into her house and she did self-defense and she killed the guy. Spoiler alert, I guess. And then the other one that I think was Michael C. Rockefeller? That doesn't sound right. I thought that was the one who disappeared, but maybe that was the guy in Australia that disappeared.
He made really good tea cakes. Let us know.
Let us know. We'll try them. No questions asked. Maybe some questions asked.
There's a high number of missing people.
Oh, yeah. Michael C. Rockefeller. That's who it was. He disappeared. Some people say cannibals. Some people say alligators. But yeah, if you have a good tea cake recipe, email us. BIARpodcast@gmail.com. We'll make them. We'll try them. I'll make them. I'll try them. Jack will help me.
I'll watch.
Hold the light so I can get a good picture for Instagram.
Yep.
And yeah, happy Women's History Month. Let us know if you had a good march. I don't know. All right.
Your evidence, my latest, Jeremy.
Signing off. I'm Caitlin.
Jack.
Bye.